It's time for Motherload Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherload. Motherload Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. On this weekend show, we're pleased to be joined in studio by Tuolumne County Office of Emergency Services Coordinator Liz Peterson. Ms. Peterson, thank you so much for coming in today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So first off, about a week ago, the Motherload has its first PG&E planned power shutoff. It's a little quieter today than it was about a week ago. So from a county OES perspective, you know, what were some of the things that were going on behind the scenes?
Yeah, well, the PSPS, as they're known, or the Public Safety Power Shutoff concept, has been around for a long time. Southern California Edison has been doing it since the early 2000s, but we've been hearing about this happening in Tuolumne County for at least a year. So there's been a lot of preparation that's been going on, or a lot of conversation about how we can be best prepared, and by we, I mean the county organization, but then also residents here who live in Tuolumne County. So that's a lot of behind the scenes over, like I said, the past many months has been working with PG&E to figure out what they plan or were planning to assist with, and then what we were going to need to rely on our partners, our partner agencies, to assist with if and when the power went out. So we weren't sure that we would ever see one of these PSPS events, because there's a number of criteria that PG&E uses to determine if a PSPS event is going to happen in an area. Things like red flag warning, low humidity levels, high winds, and we generally don't see the winds. I know that's a separate topic. I know a lot of people were frustrated about that, but you know, so we weren't sure that we would ever see a PSPS event, but it was still important that folks be prepared. And sure enough, we did about a week ago. And so I think, you know, there's a lot that we can learn from that. But preparedness, like everything else, is the key here.
When you talk about partners, working with different partners in the community, what type of groups are those?
Yeah, so there's been a lot of discussion with so for one, I think about our water agencies and our water providers, our utility providers. So making sure that they were going to be able to still deliver water. So Tuolumne Utilities District, Groveland Community Services District, and Twainhart Community Services District primarily, making sure that they were still going to be able to operate, that they were going to have the generators or whatever was necessary to still operate not only their water delivery, but also their treatment plants, their sewer systems as well. So that's just one example, but also working with the hospital to make sure that they had the appropriate backup power needs, so that they could still take, at the very least, still respond to emergencies and have patients in the hospital. You know, the worst thing we would have seen here was the need to evacuate all of the patients at the hospital. Unfortunately, the hospital did a great job of preparing ahead of time, so that wasn't necessary. But then even looking at our residents and working with some of the agencies here in the county who assist other vulnerable folks, so people maybe with physical limitations, our seniors, those with medical needs, you know, things, medical equipment that they need on a regular basis. So we've been working with our, we have a healthcare and safety coalition group that meets every other month, and all of these agency partners get together and share some of these needs and issues and talk about how they can best serve and support each other. OES is there, the sheriff's office is there, among many other partners. And so those are just a few to think about. I also think about the schools, and they were working on plans, and a lot of other agencies had been working to make sure that they could maintain their critical infrastructure and that our you know, important services would still continue if and when the power went out.
Sometimes you may not realize all the different impacts of just turning the lights off for an
exactly.
entire county,
mm-hmm.
that things
yep.
that can come up.
Right.
Were there any issues with water, getting water to people at all?
So fortunately, our, yeah, like I said, our partners did an excellent job of not only preparing to deliver the water to their normal customer base, but then also being available. So both Twainhart and Groveland Community Services Districts also opened their own little community resource centers and had water available for folks who maybe were on wells. Who, you know, if you have a well and you use a pump to get that well, and if you don't have a generator on that pump, then you can't have access to water. And so our community service districts made water available for their non-customers as well, which was really generous and kind of them. So fortunately, I didn't hear of any issues. I know behind the scenes, at least with TUD, there were some concerns. They had some struggle in the beginning with getting generators, making sure they had enough available for their various, you know, all of their massive system that they have here in the county. They made it work for sure. I think they have learned some lessons. And I think, you know, we'll have better communication with not only them, but also with PG&E about what resources are available in the future, how PG&E can maybe assist some of these agencies if and when they need it. But as far as I know, there was no issues with water delivery or sewer issues at all during the PSPS event.
The Community Resource Center, the big one at the Motherlode Fairgrounds, was that something that PG&E put together?
Yes. So they set up a total of, I believe it was, somewhere in the neighborhood of 30-ish community resource centers all throughout the PSPS affected area. And this was over 40 counties that were affected. So we had one set up, and this was done by PG&E. It was staffed by PG&E. They also had security guards that they had hired, and they stayed on site, and they had, It actually was a great facility. I was quite surprised when I first heard about what this facility would be. It seemed a little like I'm not sure it was going to be adequate. But it was a nice place. They had air conditioning. They had heat. They had water available for folks. They had Wi-Fi, tables and chairs, of course. And I stopped down there the first day, and there wasn't really anybody there yet. But I guess the second day, quite a lot of people took advantage of it, which is great. Yeah.
A lot of people getting their Wi-Fi and checking internet
exactly,
and so forth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And of course, they also had their charging stations there, which of course is one of the most important things, not only for our electronic devices that we love so much, but also, that we rely on so much. But also folks could take their medical devices there and charge those, oxygen concentrators, those kinds of things. Which was a really great thing that PG&E did.
So having this big power outage where the whole county lost power, essentially, you know, looking ahead to the winter months, we will have storms during the winter months. We could theoretically have another PSPS power shutoff at some point. You know, what were some of the things that you would recommend to people kind of having learned from this past incident?
Well, that's just it. I really hope that people learned. I know I certainly did personally. But I really hope that people take this opportunity as a learning opportunity and look at the ways that maybe they weren't quite as prepared and start to build up their preparedness so that, fortunately, we had some time to prepare for this event. You know, we could all fill up our tanks with gas, et cetera, but we may not always get that time, especially in the winter, BJ, as you mentioned. We lose power immediately sometimes, and we don't know when that's going to happen. So I think folks should spend a little time, take an hour or so, and just go through, you know, what worked, what didn't work, and what do I need to do to make sure that I'm prepared in the future, especially for an event that I may not have, be aware of that it's going to come down. Yeah.
Yeah, looking out the window of the radio station, you mentioned we did have some time ahead of time, but even getting gas was a challenge I saw
yes,
across the street.
Yes, it was. So. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, cash is another thing that I think we people thought about maybe after the fact, that a lot of restaurants, while they were able to be open, they weren't able to accept cards. That's just another thing to
food
consider.
Food and medications and all those things.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, again, I think we had some time, which is nice. So folks could go, say, to the pharmacy to get their prescription or, you know, just as an example. But again, in the future, if we don't have the time to prepare, then it's really important to make sure that you think about what are all of those things that you absolutely need to survive and making sure that you have those on hand ahead of time.
Need to take a break. We're talking with Tuolumne County Office of Emergency Services Coordinator Liz Peterson on this weekend show. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Programming note, next week on Motherlode Views, we will be starting a five-part series focused on the individual Tuolumne County supervisors. We do it each fall, and it's an opportunity to hear on where the supervisors stand on issues facing the county, as well as happenings specific to their individual district. That kicks off next week on Motherlode Views. The board chair for 2019, Carl Rodifer, will be our first guest in studio. I'm BJ Hansen. We'll be back with our second segment of Motherlode Views here in just a minute.